morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Hi, gentlemen. This week we want to kind of jump into the Old Testament a little bit. For today's lesson, I've chosen a little pericope out of 2 Kings. It's a story maybe a few of you may be familiar with, others not so much, but it's the story of Naaman. So it comes out of 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. It's the healing of Naaman. There is a cross reference in the New Testament to this story, which Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, really kind of infuriates his hometown audience as he announces what his mission is, and then cites this story as evidence of his mission and God's call for the inclusion of all nations, right? The Gentiles. Could I have someone read for us that 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, please?
Yes, sir, I got it.
Thanks, Doug.
Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given him victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her, "Mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horse and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy.
Fountain of youth.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, first impressions.
Is Damascus, the Damascus rivers, is that in Israel?
Yeah, no, that'd be north. No, that'd be much further north. This is the Damascus that we read in the New Testament about Saul.
Paul, when he becomes Paul.
He becomes Paul.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So think of like Syria. So it's a northern area where kind of this event's taking place.
Because I'm wondering why Elijah.
The Jordan would be that little river that runs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's because I'm thinking like, why does he want him to go to the?
He just says, "Why can't I
get him to?"
Yeah, basically, Naaman said, "Well, why can't I go back home and just jump in my own rivers?"
Yeah, it sounds
it'd be like us going, "Well, you know, if I told you, well, you need to go down to the Mississippi," and you said, "Well, why can't I just go into the Raging River? If water is water,
gotcha.
Right?"
Sounds like Naaman was looking for some kind of dramatic, showy act. Maybe, I don't know if it was, you know, to bring attention to himself, or seems disappointed that something as simple as what he was told to do was the answer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has some expectations. Justin, what do you think the story's about?
The guy that torn his robes, I think in that part, he thinks they're trying to set him up because they're already not really...
All right, and that guy's a king.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right, before we answer the question, then, let's back up. What characters do we have here?
We got Naaman.
We have the young girl that was taken captive for a slave.
So we have two kings.
Yep.
And they're enemies. Of the if you're on the side of Israel, your enemy's king's commander is Naaman. So Naaman's an enemy to Israel, right? So you have two kings, a high commander, right? What do you know about kings and commanders?
They enforce the laws.
Okay, which gives them, and their ability to do that is because they have
power.
So we have three individuals who represent power. With me? Mm-hmm. All right. So Dan, when you could see Naaman, he come riding up on his little horse, you know, outside the little hut or whatever, you know, that Elisha is in. And so his expectation is like, look, I'm a man of power. You need to bring your butt out of your bungalow there and acknowledge who I am. And Elisha doesn't. Pretty interesting statement. The kings are, obviously the king of Aram is thinking, well, you know, we got this. You know, in a sense, the biblical author says, you know, God has found favor with us. So yeah, here's a bunch of money in case they give you a hard time. You know, here's some, you know, what does wealth represent?
Power.
So here's some additional, besides reputation, here's some additional resources so that you can ensure your healing. The story is about healing. It's interesting that somehow, maybe even today, we think that healing requires access to certain powerful resources.
Definitely.
I mean, one of the resources we talk about in our own lives of contemporary 21st century is what we like to call health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It seems to think that without that resource, it'd be very difficult for us to find healing. Right? Now, you compare those three characters of power, right? And you have the, you know, one king is getting real upset because he thinks he's being set up, which means what? He doesn't trust his enemy. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, we can probably relate to that to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We probably all had certain people that we considered enemies that we didn't trust. Right? And then Naaman is expecting this grand recognition of his position, right? His prestige. Is this ringing a bell with some of the other things we were studying?
We have power, right? Prestige, yeah. Position.
Yeah. Yeah, position, prestige, and power. It's in all three of these characters. Well, there are two other type of characters in this little pericope. One, Justin, you mentioned, is this slave, the servant girl. Right?
Yeah.
She's a captive, right, from Israel. Now, she does refer to Naaman as her master. So she's being faithful, even as a captive, to her duties unto him. Enough so, though, is she's going to be faithful to her own faith and say that if he really wants healing, he needs to go to the prophet, that's in Samaria, all right? Which would be the northern kingdom, Israel area, okay? And then later, after Naaman, he's like, he's appalled, right? He's insulted, right? That prophet wouldn't even come out of his hut and acknowledge who I am. You know, give me my attention, affection, affirmation, acceptance that I am a person of power, prestige, and I in position. Then who speaks to Naaman?
Elisha.
Yeah. So what would we say, I mean, can you see that there's a contrast between the three characters, the two kings and Naaman, as characters of power versus a slave girl and the servants of Naaman, who are what?
Obedient and humble.
Okay. Yeah, they're powerless. That's kind of wild. I mean, it's a direct contradiction going on here. If they are obedient, humble, powerless, right? They're as servants. What do we know about servants, contrary to the other three characters who have power?
They live the way of the cross.
Yeah. Well, we haven't quite gotten to the cross yet. that would be applicable for us, but in this context, I think it's important that we realize that they do not have access to the resources. They do not, in a sense, trust in themselves and come to realize they have to step out and trust others. Things about kings and people like Naaman, right, who have power, prestige, and position, they don't necessarily need to trust others.
They rely on their own.
Yeah, and so now you have people who know that if you really want help, you have to step up and learn to trust others. So, gentlemen, here in the Lenawee County Mission, particularly you wrestling with issues of addiction, is that applicable to your current spiritual formation and recovery?
Yeah.
Or are you still trying to practice a little Naaman?
I try and practice. I'm powerless, and I have to ask for help. And in asking for help, you know, I'm definitely trusting others that, you know, even here, trusting that my way wasn't right. And there's another way, so I have to be submissive to the way, you know, and trust that this place has a better way for me.
Yeah, I really think that with these two characters, the servant girl and the other servants of Naaman's, they are, in this story, the very voice of God. Because they speak to power, prestige, and position. Look it, you need to trust and you need to obey. Well, there's no other way. That's the old hymn goes, right? And Naaman, when he finally does that, what does he do? He follows through with what Elisha told him to do. Go dip yourself seven times into the Jordan. You'll be clean. So he's got to take a risk, and he's going to trust these instructions. He's going to follow these instructions. So we have trust and obedience, which leads to his healing. The story of healing and redemption is always about trust and obedience. Now, you can take that context within this story in the Old Testament, and then, Doug, you can make it applicable to what we find with Jesus. Do we really trust Jesus? Do we really obey Jesus?
In the last week, I went through some experiences, and I always knew I was powerless, but I didn't really want to admit it. And, you know, we like us as addicts, we like to tell ourselves, "Well, we can do it." You know what I mean? But you know, we can say we're powerless, but you gotta really know you are. And as long as you have that relationship with Jesus, you know, and you know, you have him in your heart, and you trust in him. You know that he'll lead you down the right path, and trust you, you, Pastor, and everyone, my brothers in the house, and you know you're good. You just gotta always pray and talk to him, and you just gotta get close to him, and don't go astray from him, run away from him.
Yeah, as we're kind of coming down off our high horse, right? As addicts, homeless, we've experienced a little Naaman. Ourselves.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.